Hi guys, and welcome to another new episode of You Need Therapy Podcast. My name is Kat, and I am the host. And today you're getting another episode of just me talking to you guys about something that I wanted to bring up and have a conversation with myself to you about. If you're new to the podcast, I'm a licensed therapist, but I always like to remind everybody quickly before we get into the juice of what we will be talking about that this is not therapy in itself or a placement, but the hope is maybe something that we talk about might lead you to therapy to work on something that's important to you. So what am I going to talk about today? We are going to talk about this idea or this thing called toxic positivity. And what is it? And what's the difference between that and optimism? And is my positivity toxic? Am I allowed to be positive anymore? Because, oh my gosh, there's all this stuff about positivity being toxic, but I also don't want to just sit in the shit all the time. So what do I do? And to be honest, in the last couple of years, this term has been brought up more and more and more and more. And that's why I want to talk about it. I hadn't even heard of this term until a couple years ago. Positivity was just positivity. And it was like, well, how can being positive be toxic? And it can be. So we're going to talk about that. Now, I am a natural optimist and someone who believes in the power of PMA. I've done a couple episodes about PMA and I find it very valuable and wholeheartedly believe in that concept and that idea. And so when I first heard the term toxic positivity, I didn't even want to give it the time of day. I just wanted to be like, yeah, that's whatever. I don't want to pay attention to that. But, you know, in the end, I kind of had to. One, because it is a thing, and two, I'm a therapist and I have to know these things. And that's one of the reasons that I think this episode is important, because this is a thing and the word's being thrown out a lot. And so it's keeping people from being able to show up, I think, fully, because I don't want to be called out for that. You know, we're in this like call out cancel culture and nobody wants to be wrong. And so then we shut parts of ourselves off, and I'm inviting you to turn those parts of you back on. And toxic positivity is not the same thing as being optimistic, and optimism and positivity have a beautiful place in the world. I also think it's important because when we hear the word toxic, I think we automatically think bad, which totally makes sense. But I also think that there are a lot of people who are spreading and engaging in toxic positivity that aren't actually bad. And they don't have bad intentions. They are just doing what they think is right and probably what they've been taught and surrounded by. And I get this like weird, like blaming vibe from content around toxic positivity. And again, it's a harmful thing. I'm not pro toxic positivity, but to alleviate this problem isn't to create a icky vibe around it. It's to offer feedback and educate ourselves about it. You know, we can't know until we know. Therefore, today we're going to get into the know. So in simple terms, let's talk about what toxic positivity is. It is when authentic feelings, like real authentic feelings, get dismissed by yourself or other people by basically being coerced into looking at the bright side, right? So it involves dismissing feelings that are perceived as negative and responding to distress with false reassurance rather than like empathy and real connection. It has like unconsciously its roots in the idea that feelings are either good or bad. And it invites this idea that morality lives within feelings, and they're like feelings are these moral things when they're not. Feelings are feelings. So being positive has been kind of connected to moral rightness or moral correctness. And that means a lot of us judge ourselves for feeling emotions that are seen as negative. And so we have to pull back and realize that, like, wait a second, emotions aren't negative and positive. They are not good or bad. There's no moralness around feelings. If I have taught you guys anything, it is that feelings are not good or bad. Like, that is just something that I harp on over and over because it's such an important truth. They just are, period. They are tools and helpful guides, and they help lead us to where we need to go and what we need to ask for and what we need to create. And they may not feel good, right? They might be uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean they are morally wrong or bad, or we shouldn't have them and we should have other ones. So the pressure to spread and engage in toxic positivity, I get it. Like, if you really sit down and think about it, it makes sense. It comes from feeling uncomfortable with emotions. It comes from being uncomfy. And when we're uncomfy, it makes sense that we would want to not be uncomfortable and alleviate that. So like I said, it's often very well-intentioned. We just want to feel better, or we want to help somebody else feel better, or we want to make somebody else feel better so then we feel better, right? So we're caring for ourselves by acting like we're caring for somebody else. But what that really can do is cause like a lot of alienation and feeling of disconnection, when really in those moments when we have those uncomfortable feelings, what we really need is connection. And this does the opposite. So there's this woman named Susan David, And she has an awesome TED Talk that I recommend listening to. And she describes this kind of idea in her TED Talk as having dead people's goals, which I think is such, I mean, it was funny when I heard it, and it's funny when I think about it, because only dead people never feel unwanted or never get disappointed or never feel uncomfortable. They only dead people never get stressed or have their heart broken. Tough emotions are just part of what she calls our contract with life. And she says discomfort is the price of admission for a meaningful life. And I just think that that is so true, right? So I'm going to say it again. Discomfort is the price of admission for a meaningful life. Meaning, if I want a meaningful, good, saturated life, I have to be willing to sit in discomfort. I have to be willing to feel a range of emotions. And if I'm not, I am contracting to a less meaningful life. Okay, so let's talk about what toxic positivity can sound like now that we know what it is. Because I think, again, because this is so well-intentioned, sometimes we don't think what we're saying is that, but it actually is. So I'm going to give you some basic phrases and some examples, and you can be like, oh, I do that all the time. Or, oh yeah, I really don't like when people do that. I understand that now. So phrases like good vibes only, look on the bright side, yes, but you have so much to be grateful for. Don't let that blank, right? So don't let that make you cry, or don't let that get you down, or don't let that whatever it is. It's not that bad. Other people have it worse. Or this one, everything happens for a reason. Blah, 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 blah. I hate that. I really do hate that. I also don't believe that everything happens for a reason, but that's another conversation. So some examples of sometimes what this looks like in an experience would be like somebody who is struggling getting pregnant, right? Maybe they had a miscarriage or something, and somebody says, well, at least you were able to get pregnant. It's like, okay, so I can't be sad then, because at least I can do that. Or when something super bad happens, like there's a car wreck, or maybe you lose your job, or you have a breakup, and somebody says like, well, everything happens for a reason. And it's like, okay, that's not helpful, because this feels very icky and I feel like I'm being punished. And why would I be being punished, right? Or now am I being ungrateful and not staying in line with my faith and my religion because I'm mad that this happened, but it's part of God's plan, right? This can look like telling somebody who is grieving something to like just look at the positive things in their life they still have. Like maybe somebody's a parent died and they're like, well, focus on the parent that you do have. And it's like, okay, okay. Seems off, but if that's what I'm supposed to do, I guess. And then again, it comes with this like rush of, am I being ungrateful because I have a parent? And honestly, I think this one is kind of confusing, but when we label people who like, and look at people who look happy all the time and have this like essence of positivity as stronger or like, I guess more likable, that is a form of toxic positivity. Like you're stronger because you can be more happy, but is that what strength looks like? So those are just some examples of what that can look like in life. And I'm sure some of you guys out there have been like, yeah, I've been told that, or I've experienced that, or like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And again, you can see in these examples with toxic positivity that negative emotions were what is being labeled as negative emotions, right? So emotions that aren't comfortable are being labeled as negative emotions. They're seen as inherently bad, so we shouldn't have them. So by somebody saying, don't feel that, or it could be worse, trying to alleviate that hurt or sadness or any of that, it's sending the message that those things are bad and you shouldn't feel them. And when these quote unquote like positive ideas or phrases are pushed towards something, the real experience somebody's having is being denied. Their experience is being minimized, like it's not so bad, and they're just being invalidated, which really can, when we're invalidated, it actually really does affect us, because sometimes we aren't sitting there being like, oh, I feel invalidated. We're sitting there and saying to ourselves, oh, I'm wrong. Right? There's not always that connection of like, they're invalidating me, but this feels valid. There comes this part of me that's like, oh, I'm wrong for feeling this. So a number of problems arise from toxic positivity, and we're going to talk about that too. And it can be confusing, because why would it be bad to be positive? And why would it be bad to look at the bright side? And again, I want you guys to hear this. I don't think being optimistic and being a positive person is wrong, bad, or harmful. It's this experience of denying, minimizing, and invalidating somebody's emotions. That is what can be very, very dangerous. So it can actually lead us to ignore real harm. So because this can encourage us to minimize our feelings and reactions to experiences, we may also encourage the minimization of like the severity of something. And so think about when it comes to abuse, right? Then these people might remain in these abusive relationships because it's like, oh, it's not so bad, or look at all the good things he does, but at least you have a partner. It's like these kinds of things, like, ugh, we wonder why it's hard for some people to get out of relationships. And I did this episode on forced forgiveness a while ago, and I talked about how sometimes we can be pushed into this box of you must forgive, especially in religious communities, right? So this brings up this idea of spiritual bypassing that I want to address really quickly while we're here, because encouraging the idea of forgiveness in this space increases the risk of people staying with things like abusive partners and then being abused more. So spiritual bypassing is a term that was coined by this guy named John Wellwood, and he describes it as a widespread tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developmental tasks. So spiritual bypassing comes about when we use spirituality to avoid things, to suppress things, to kind of escape, right? To get away from the uncomfortable stuff we experience in life. And a huge part of it is overemphasizing the positives and avoiding negatives. So overemphasizing our blessings and trying to avoid things that are hard in our lives, right? Like, so count your blessings and all that. And this happens in many, many religions and spiritual groups. It's not just one. I see it a lot in Christianity because that's the faith that I'm surrounded by the most, but it can happen in any spiritual experience. And some common examples, just like off the top of my head as I'm thinking about this, are things that you'll hear when, like, let go and let God. Everything happens for a reason. It's part of God's plan. Like those kinds of things. Pray about it. Oh my gosh. Like in the episode I did with Hannah Brencher, like a year ago, I think it went out in January. She talked about her mental health. Like, well, if you just would pray more, God would heal your depression. And when we send that message, it pushes people to not ask for help. Okay. And then it makes us feel like we're bad Christians. So the more I will pray, maybe God will give me the healing that I need. And so I have to put it in God's hands. So I can't talk about it, because if I talk about it, that means I probably haven't been praying enough. And you can see how that cycle goes. Not great. God gave us the brains we have so we can reach out to help and get help from the people who have brains that know how to help alleviate and heal some of our mental health, physical health, all of our things. Again, another conversation. I just wanted to sidestep and talk about that for a second, because this is part of that. So another way that toxic positivity can be harmful is that it can encourage someone to start believing that something's like wrong with them, that they're defective, because what they hear and what we hear is our experience is wrong. And this can in turn affect our self-esteem, right? So something's wrong with me. I'm defective. And if I can't look on the bright side, if I can't feel okay, or if I can't get over this, then I might feel like I'm like failing, or failing at life, failing at being good at this, or I am a bad Christian, or I am a bad mom, or I am a bad teacher, or I am a bad whatever it is. And then it also perpetuates this idea that in that, right, you're defective, you're weak, you're inadequate. So when you feel sad, stressed, angry, hurt, when you're in the ick of your stuff, that means you're weak because you can't get out of it. And this will turn into isolation, because that there comes a big old blanket of shame on top of that. And the shame that this develops can kind of deter someone from asking for help, especially like I was saying in that example of the spiritual bypassing. Like, it can encourage us to not ask for the help that we need that could actually be the solution to this situation. And we need our feelings, right? We need to feel our feelings, because our feelings are tools and guides, and they lead us to that connectedness, which is asking for help and getting that need met. And this one is a big one. When we create these false positive experiences, what we also are doing is we're losing the ability to like develop skills to deal with the world in its like actual truth as it is, rather than deal with the world with how we want it to be. So when we invite the false positive in that narrative, we're living literally in a manufactured, inauthentic world. I have a tool for dealing with how I want the world to be. I want it to be rainbows and butterflies and the bright side and the grass is greener, but it's not. So then we miss out on the ability to develop skills to actually deal with the truth that is what we are sitting in. And then also, I think it can affect a lot of relationships in the sense that we don't develop communication issues. So if I'm supposed to look on the bright side and not focus on all of the bad things, like don't nag, don't nitpick, don't choose your battles, like that kind of thing, it can actually push us away from creating like conversations. And what I know about conflict is that it's an invitation for intimacy. And so we are missing out on this experience to create more intimacy, and then we're building resentment and it pushes us farther from each other. Again, it removes the ability to connect. And when it comes down to it, it's just also very confusing. It just sends the message that I'm wrong. My feelings are wrong. Like this meter inside of me is off and I shouldn't be feeling this. But the thing is, you're feeling it. So it's just very confusing if you sit in that idea. And you can't just tell yourself to not feel something. It doesn't work that way. I can't be like, hey, Kat, don't be sad. And then all of a sudden I'm not sad. I wish I could do that. If I didn't want to feel sad, I would have to actively find a way to numb or hide. If I didn't want to just listen to the sadness and let that guide me to what I need, I would have to actively find a way to numb or hide. And I would probably have to use a behavior that can end up being pretty harmful. And then it doesn't actually make that feeling go away. It's a distraction and it just pushes it to the side for a little bit. Toxic positivity is an idea that I think came out of a desire to do good that actually just encourages us to deny authentic, uncomfortable feelings, even though they are very much real and most of the time justified. Which, speaking of justified, let's talk about that for a second. So there's a difference between something being justified and something being valid. And I think what happens is often we don't want to validate something that we think is wrong, right? So we don't want to like validate something we don't agree with, but validation doesn't mean we agree with something, right? That idea makes sense. Like, I don't want to encourage something that I think is wrong or bad or this or that. But feelings are never wrong. They literally just are. They're just things. A feeling is always valid because it's there and you have it, period. It doesn't mean it's justified. We can validate someone's emotional experience without being like, yeah, that's justified. You leave that at the door. Just all we have to do here is validate. The solution to toxic positivity is validation. It's very simple, which we're going to get into, and I'm going to give you some examples of what that sounds like. But before we do that, I do want to take a second and talk about the difference between like being optimistic and being toxically positive, because I think also those get confused of like, can I still be optimistic? Can I still encourage optimism? Can I still encourage hope? And the answer is yeah. The thing about optimism is that optimistic people aren't just like happy people all the time. Optimism involves this very real idea and belief in hope, right? So hope is a thing that they hold on to. Hopefulness is the ability to anticipate and believe in positive circumstances and improved outcomes. That's literally it. Hopefulness is the ability to anticipate and believe in positive circumstances and improved outcomes. And what we know from research, this is very true, is having hope actually increases the likelihood of finding what it is that someone wants or longs for. So hope is something that's very helpful. Hope is very healthy. Hope is something that we want to invite into our lives. Now, again, being optimistic does not mean someone is happy all the time. It does not mean they look at the bright side all of the time. What it means is that even when joy is lacking, they have the ability to choose hope. And you can't outright choose your feelings. You can choose hope. And it isn't black and white. That's the thing. I also want to remind us that. So if you heard how I said that, even when joy is lacking, so what that could mean is even when there is a lot of sadness, even when there is hurt, even when that, there is an ability to believe something different can be present in the future. I would call myself a very optimistic person. And I have a lot of feelings, like a wide range. I have all the feelings. I feel them all. And I don't like to, but I do. And to be honest, this week, I have been more sad than I have been in a really, really, really long time. And I had to honor those feelings. I didn't like it. I had to honor them and validate them and sit in them and remind myself that it makes sense that I'm experiencing that. My sadness deserved some love and attention and some validation. And I don't think I'm always going to feel this way forever. Therefore, I don't have this initial push to be like, don't be sad. It's going to be okay. Because like, but I have this hope in me that knows that it's not always going to be this way. So I can honor what I'm experiencing now. So how do you guys get out of this trap? Or how, whether it is that you do it to yourself or you find yourself saying this to other people, because sitting with discomfort is hard for all of us. I'm going to offer some alternatives that you can offer to yourself and others to get out of it. And like I said, the solution to toxic positivity is validation. And validation does not mean I agree with everything someone is saying. And if we could actually implant that idea in our brain, I think this world would be very, very different. I can validate without saying I agree with you. What it means is I honor your truth as your truth, and I honor your experience as your experience, and I do not have the need to make my experience your experience. There is no rationalization in validation at all. So here are some examples of what something may sound like when it's spread in a toxic positivity way, and then a way to shift and just validate. So if we look at the phrase, look at the bright side, you could try, this is really tough, period. That's it. And instead of saying something like, it could be worse, you could say, yeah, this sounds like it really sucks. Is there any way that I can support you right now? Or instead of, don't let that bother you, you can try, yeah, it makes sense that this affected you this way. And instead of, it's not that big of a deal, you could say, I hear that this feels really big right now for you. Do you want to talk about it? And instead of, you don't need that negative energy, good vibes only, you could say, even though I don't like admitting it, life can be really tough sometimes. Ah, there. And so we're not trying to fix anything. We're not trying to change anything. We're trying to validate somebody and help them own and acknowledge and respect their experience, right? Respect their experience. And when I can respect my experience and honor that, I can feel more connected. I can feel actually more okay in that because I don't have to wonder if I'm bad or wrong. And I can listen to my feelings and hopefully allow them to guide me to what it is that I need. So there is my little talk on toxic positivity. It's something that is pretty hot right now because there is a lot of stuff going on in the world and we don't want to feel it all the time. And sometimes we just want to be good vibes only. But the truth is, that's not the truth. So I hope this was helpful and I hope this felt safe to listen to rather than scary. Because my experience is that when people have been talking about this, it felt like it's kind of scary. So remember, not everything's black and white. And we can own our truth and validate other people's truths at the same time. If you have any questions about this, remember you can always email me at Catherine@youneedtherapypodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram at cat.defada or the podcast at youneedtherapypodcast. Thank you for listening and being part of my little family on here. And I hope you guys have the week you need to have. Bye.